From time to time, you come across a tragic story of someone who's built a beautiful house and a home for his beloved, putting his whole heart and soul into it, only to have the beloved leave him for someone else. And in imitation of his broken heart, he destroys every reminder of the work he had lavished his love on, using a bulldozer to crush it to the ground. And when stories like that come up, as they sometimes do, it gives us an inkling of how God felt about the house of Israel, the bride he had lavished his love on by building a vineyard so brilliant that all his beloved had to do was walk in and take possession. He even provided her with a wine press for the harvest. "What more could I have done for my vineyard that I have not done?" he asks. And yet she walks away. In the Gospel, Jesus picks up on this theme of the unproductive vineyard and accuses the chief priests and elders sitting there right in front of him of doing exactly the same as the leaders of Israel in Isaiah's time. Their fathers rejected the messengers God sent to them, ignoring or killing them, but this crowd will do worse. They intend to kill the Son of God as well. With him out of the way, they'll be free to do as they like, with no reference to the law of God, and therefore no restrictions. Sound familiar? In our own time, Jesus has been metaphorically put to death again, or at least thrown out of the vineyard. He no longer attracts the multitudes that he used to do on the shores of Lake Galilee. We are now down to a small number of people, the faithful remnant, doing our best to keep the faith alive. Sounds a bit gloomy that, but these lean times for living out the faith have happened before. They seem to go in cycles of boom like the 1950s or bust now. But don't forget that after they killed Christ, he rose again, and we have every reason to believe that he will rise triumphant again in our time, or perhaps a little further down the line, because he always does. Boom times usually come when we've got our backs to the wall, like Solidarność in Poland, while bust seems to come at a time of prosperity when we can afford every kind of distraction to take us away from practicing our faith. But those distractions are not always good for us. As an example, we are already seeing what an uncontrollable monster social media has become. That's not to say it doesn't have beneficial uses, of course it does. But even the creative minds behind Google and Facebook and Instagram and all those other media outlets now gaze with horror on the monster that they have created. I say that because I read an article about it this week, and in the article it says, all these men can describe the results of the problem, addiction, the engendering of tribalism, misinformation, the commodification of human lives, perpetual surveillance, and continual distraction. But none of them can put their finger on what the problem actually is. The inventor of the like button, for example, thought that he was just adding another fun tool. He never imagined for a moment, I suppose, that it would become a tool of social approval, which has led to the horrifically steep rise of suicides and self-harming in preteens and teenagers posting pictures of themselves digitally altered in search of 1,000 heart-shaped likes. But hope springs eternal. Looking back, you could compare the darkest days of the lockdown to being in the dark of the soil, closed down, dormant, sleeping almost. But not quite. As we know from what always looks like an unproductive winter, with nothing happening and no growth to be seen, deep down in the depth of the soil, things are stirring, so that when the warmth of spring gives the signal, new life begins to emerge as sure as night follows day. During the pandemic, we've seen a huge surge in care and thoughtfulness for people in difficulties from every sector of society. More locally, in our own parish, two young mums have told me that far from being fraught with having the children home all day when the schools were closed, They've actually loved the opportunity to just enjoy being a family. I know of a man who makes time for a friend with mental health issues, and a woman who phones someone with a dangerous illness every night just to make sure they're okay. Little green shoots of selflessness breaking through the me-time culture. So maybe now, after decades of excess and consumerism, which have failed to satisfy the deep-down, innate desire we all have for meaning and purpose, this enforced stillness may cause people to look at what life's all about and what really matters. Perhaps the way God works, who knows, a new Pentecost may be on the way. So it would be no harm to pray for one. Come, Holy Spirit, renew the face of the earth.